Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1, book of James chapter 1. We're talking about what do you do in order to take that new heart that you've been given by God's grace. God has removed your heart of stone. He's put in a heart of flesh. What do you do to feed that heart and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We talked about the usefulness of the word last week. We're going to look at some other aspect of the word this week. We're going to begin with verse 19, which is going to be our key verse this morning, but I'm going to read through verse 25. Let us hear God's word together. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no longer a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Once again, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, what we have read and heard is a good way to live our lives, being quick to listen to people and slow to speak and slow to get angry. Lord, we see this applies, however, directly to how we receive your word. So, Lord, help us to be better receivers of your word as a result of being here today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Eutychus is a character in the Bible. His story is in Acts 20, and he's known basically for one thing, and that's this. Eutychus fell asleep in church. He was sitting on a ledge. He fell asleep. He fell off the ledge. He landed on the pavement. He died, and he had to be revived by the Apostle Paul. But you know what? That may be the first instance of someone falling asleep in church. But Eutychus is only the lead float in a long parade of people falling asleep during a sermon. Now, during the many years I've had the privilege in God's providence to be the son of a preacher man and to be a preacher, I've actually seen these things happen. I've seen a man fall asleep during a sermon and bump his head on the pew in front of himself. I've seen a minister sitting on the platform listening to another preacher dozing off and dropping his Bible. I've seen people in worship drift asleep and all of a sudden wake up with a snort, you know, and they're awake. Preacher told me about an elder who fell asleep and his wife nudged him in the middle of the sermon. The man stood up and did the benediction. Then probably my favorite was one my dad told about a preacher who was preaching on hell. He's preaching on the horrors of hell, and he said, "Now I know that no one in this room wants to go to hell, do they?" This man was asleep. The preacher said, "If you want to go to hell, stand up." And he hit the pulpit and he said, "Stand up." The guy bolted up. And he looked around. And he said, "Preacher, I don't know what it is we're voting on, but it looks like you and I are the only ones in favor of it." Now, you know, we're sympathetic toward people who have a problem staying awake in church, right? You know, some of you are so physically active that when you sit in church, it's the first opportunity you've had all week to relax. Some of you take prescription medicines. Now, that'll secure you a first-class ticket direct flight to Dreamland. Some of you are dog-tired from the night before. You know the old saying, a Saturday night live, Sunday morning dead. Of course, some people have to endure week after week Genesis 1-2 sermons. You know what a Genesis 1-2 sermon is. It is without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of it. But you know, sometimes falling asleep in church is not a great concern. But what does concern us is when believers seem to show a lack of interest in hearing the Word of God. We're talking about people who are bored with or apathetic to the teaching and the preaching of the Word. I hope that apathy toward the Word is something that concerns all of us, because it's very clear from the Bible, for a believer, the Word is everything. Look there in James 1:18, our spiritual birth was born in the womb of God's revelation of the good news of His grace in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:17, it says, faith comes from hearing a word from the Lord. You see, if you're a Christian this morning, if you are a Christian, it's because one day, by God's grace, you heard the Word. It may have been read, it may have been preached, it may have been taught. If you're growing in faith, you're growing because you're hearing a Word from the Lord. If you're going to make any progress in your Christian life, if you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to avoid falling into a spiritual rut, you've got to take this Word seriously. You've got to listen to the Word. See, God's Word is essential to our spiritual well-being. It's essential to having a healthy heart. What we have here in James chapter 1, basically in verse 19, is this. It's three issues that we always face when it comes to receiving the Word of God, to receiving the Word taught, preached, read. Now, friends, receiving God's Word, taking this Word into our minds and hearts and lives, it's a big problem these days. Here's something from 2021. George Barna's research group conducted a survey that focused only on this sample. It was born-again Christians. Now, listen to this. Only 16%, less than 2 out of every 10 people, read the Bible every day. Less than 2 of 10 even bothered to crack open their Bible and even read a verse from it. Worst of all, 24%, basically less than 1 in 4, say, Christians now, say they never read the Bible. Wow. This Bible is available in more than 1,800 languages. So the problem is not availability. The problem was best summarized by Billy Sunday, the old evangelist, who said this. He said, the biggest dust storm in history would happen if every church member in every church that was neglecting their Bibles blew the dust off their Bibles at the same time. It's tragic, the neglect of the Word. And the fact is, Christians are becoming Christians. And believe me, we have to be grounded today. In this culture, we need to be grounded. But Christians have become biblically illiterate. According to the same survey by Barna, 75% of believers surveyed, 3 out of 4 could not name all 4 Gospels. You know, the average faithful church member hears between 50 and 100 hours of preaching and teaching every year. If you're faithful in your attendance, that's at least what you hear every year. But what kind of impact is it making on us? Barna went ahead to discover that there's very little difference between the behavior of Christians and non-Christians, only about a 6% difference in moral issues. Why? Because of a lack of practical knowledge of the Bible. We don't know the Word because we don't receive the Word. We don't sow the Word into the soil of our hearts. So let's look at these three issues that we face when it comes to actually receiving the Word. The first issue we face when receiving the Word is this. There's the issue of attention. The issue of attention. Let every person be quick to hear. That is, quick to listen. A ready listener. Now, there's a world of difference between hearing something and listening to something. Hearing is a physical process. You cannot help but to hear. You're hearing me this morning. But listening is a mental process. Now, you know what it's like. You know as well as I do, we have been physically present someplace before while our mind is 100 miles away. You know what that's like. Well, let's look at a couple of reasons why we don't listen with an engaged mind to the Word. Let's look at just a couple of reasons why we don't have the edge of attention that we need when listening to the Word. There's a spiritual reason why we don't listen to the Word as we ought to. First of all, there's a cultural reason, not spiritual. I'll come to that, but there's a cultural reason why we don't listen to the Word as we should. Discover this. This is minimum numbers, by the way. At a minimum, every week we're online for 24 hours. 24 hours of watching television, listening to radio 14 hours, talking on the phone more or less 35 hours, and get this, checking your phone 58 times a day. Have you done that yet today? During this hour? Every year, average person reads 4 books, either online or physically. In other words, what we're saying is this, we're bombarded with information. Billions and billions of words produced every second. So many words, so much information, information overload, and pair that with something called FOMO, fear of missing out. Just combine that with being bombarded with information, and what happens is this, our senses shut down. And we have a problem listening to anything, especially Bible sermons and lessons. Something else about our culture, you noticed it's dominated by visual media. Our attention spans have been conditioned by fleeting pixel images on television, on the cinema, on the phone screen. You watch television, a movie. Most scenes, just watch this next time you watch something on TV. Something changes in less than 8 seconds. It's either zooming in, zooming out, panning this way, panning out, changing angle. Something is changing, at least at the max, every 8 seconds. So we become so dependent upon these changing visuals that we have developed a significant case of attention deficit disorder, especially when it comes to sitting and listening to a sermon or a lesson. I love what Adlai Stevenson, former U.S. ambassador, once said. He gave a speech to a group of students in Princeton, and he began with this. He said, "I understand I'm here to speak and you're here to listen. Let's hope we both finish at the same time." So culturally, because of our media, we are overstimulated. But there's also a spiritual reason why we don't listen to the Word as we should. And that's this fact. Whenever you open your Bible, whenever you attend a Sunday school class, whenever you hear a sermon, you are transported into the middle of a spiritual battlefield. See, Satan realizes that we think 3 to 5 times faster than we speak. Did you know that? You think 3 to 5 times faster than you speak. So Satan's going to leverage anything he can to keep your mind preoccupied and sabotage your concentration on the Word. Question, what is Satan using today to keep you from concentrating on this sermon? Well, here's the answer. It's whatever you're thinking about besides the sermon. That's what Satan is using right now to distract you from receiving God's Word. Martin Luther said, Satan will do anything to keep you from reading the Word, even if it means getting up to adjust a shade. Anything. Just, you know, keep away from the Word. Now add to that we have a fallen nature with a default setting of tuning out the Bible, because even as redeemed people, we are still sinners who have a self-centered nature that kicks in when we come to church. You know, we're more concerned about what we did last week. We're thinking about what we're going to do next week. We're thinking about some personal issue we're concerned with. Realize that the source of your distraction is spiritual. It's personal. You're being distracted by the devil. You're being distracted by your own fallen nature. You need to understand the problem. It is a spiritual problem, distraction from the Word. So how do you become a better listener of the Word? Let's get practical here. To begin with, remember how urgent it is to listen to the Bible. Remember how urgent it is. Let's say you're in the military, and you know in less than 6 weeks you're going to be deployed as an infantry person on the battlefield. Would you listen to your instructor? You know you would. Well, friends, every day you face a great enemy, Lucifer, Satan, the prince of darkness, every day of your life, and his goal is to destroy your body and your soul in hell. So it's urgent that you listen. Another way to become a better listener is not only to see the urgency of listening, but take notes. Why take notes, you say? Well, let me share with you an ancient Chinese proverb. Weakest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. So true. I can't speak for you, but my mind holds information about as long as a coffee filter holds water. If I don't write it down, I forget. And besides that, taking notes helps you concentrate on what's being said, because as you're listening, you see, you involve your hearing, your sight, and your motor skills. So take notes. Understand how urgent it is to listen. Another way to become a better listener to God's Word is this: pray that you would listen better. Pray that you would listen better. I came across a devotional prayer of the average American these days. Are you ready? Here it is. Lord, speak to me. You have 30 seconds. Seems like there's no place in the rush and busyness of our lives to listen and to remember what Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Few of us have the discipline to say with Samuel, speak, for your servant is listening. One of the marks of being a servant of God is that you're listening when God is speaking to you through His Word. One other way to become a better listener to God's Word is this: limit your exposure to visual media. Notice I didn't say get rid of it. I didn't say toss your phones. No. Limit your exposure. Listen, if you don't control your time, You have something in your purse or sitting right by you that is guaranteed to control your time for you. And if you continue to expose yourself to automobiles exploding, rapid fire images of videos and films, reality shows, sound bites, brief tweets, commercials packing 60 images in the 30 seconds, TikTok videos, you're going to have a problem listening when someone's speaking to you from God's Word, because visual media makes us lazy, hearing impaired. Don't get rid of it, but limit your exposure to visual media. Let us be quick to hear. That's the issue of attention. Now we move now to the second issue that we face head on when it comes to receiving God's Word. The issue of attention is the first issue. The second issue is this. There's the issue of speaking. The issue of speaking. Notice it says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Now understand that during James' time, worship was a lot more unstructured than it is today. Sometimes sermons were dialogue sermons with audience participation. So the potential problem was, instead of allowing the preacher to get up and open Scripture, someone in the audience would monopolize the time by standing, offering his own personal opinions and experiences with the crowd. You may know people like that. Perhaps you've attended Bible studies where the teacher's trying to teach the Bible and here's someone always throwing in his or her two cents worth, sharing in minute detail. This reminds me of something that happened to me. Da 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 da. Friends, that robs us of precious time spent in valuable instruction on the Bible. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to dialogue. Don't monopolize, though. You know, in a worship setting, here's what happens. Not many people just speak out in a worship service, maybe an occasional amen or something like that. But we don't speak out. What we do is this. We speak within ourselves. We argue with what's being said. I remember someone sitting in a congregation one day doing this. No, no, no. We criticize what we hear, especially if it doesn't fit into our theological system. We develop theological categories so rigid that even the Bible does not penetrate those lead-lined concrete bunkers of our categories. Remember a man coming out after a sermon I preached and said, "Thank you so much for that sermon, preacher. You confirmed all my biases." I said, "Ooh, I've done something wrong." If what we hear doesn't fit into what we want to hear, we judge the preacher. Friends, just asking this, take time to understand what you're hearing. We tend to be slow to hear and quick to speak. Perhaps it would be good for us to pray, "God, I realize that you gave me two eyes, two ears, and one mouth, so I would listen and look twice as much as I speak." My father, Ed Justly, was known as Reverend 20 Questions, because he would get with someone, and next thing you know, question after question after question. I said, "Dad, why do you ask so many questions?" Here's his response. He said, "You know what, son? You don't learn anything when you're talking. So I let them talk and I learn." We learn as we listen to God speak to us through His Word. So quick to listen, slow to speak. Listening, speaking, those are issues in receiving God's Word. When it comes to receiving God's Word, there is a third and final issue that this text addresses. Notice it is this. It is the issue of anger. The issue of anger. There's listening, there's speaking, whether it be internal, external, talking with others, whatever, and the issue of anger. Notice it says here, slow to anger, slow to wrath, the word is. The word anger refers there to a smoldering fire. It's an ongoing attitude of hostility toward God's Word. You know, some people nowadays are offended by anything other than hearing good news about themselves. And as we know, the 11th commandment is, you shall not offend anyone. How dare you? People just want to hear what's good about them. And in untold numbers of churches, I've witnessed it. The surest way for a preacher to get fired is to preach about sin consistently. You've heard this, haven't you? That preacher, he's quit preaching and gone to meddling. I know a preacher, actually know him, who lives in Mississippi, who preached a sermon on the subject of anger, and a deacon in the church got angry and stomped out of the church. Then the next day he went to talk to the man, and the deacon chased the preacher out of the house with an axe. True story. It's an example of 20b. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Friends, we are in a time described as the last days by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, when it said that people will not be able to bear the truth, but will gather around them people that say whatever their itching ears want to hear. Tickle my ears, preacher. Tell me good things. Whatever you do, don't talk about that horrible three-letter word, you know, sin. Listen, the next time you get angry at something you hear in a sermon, the next time you get angry at something you hear in a Bible lesson, ask yourself this question. I attended a seminar years ago by Larry Crabb, and he was talking about anger. And he said, when you get angry, ask the question, what am I demanding? What is my demand here? He says, anger is a demand. Am I demanding that the preacher just massage my ego? Am I demanding that the preacher tell me only what I want to hear? Yes, friends, the gospel is good news. But the good news of the gospel begins with the bad news of our sin and our desperate condition. None of us wants to hear the bad news about ourselves, but if we deny the diagnosis, if we never take the gospel medicine, we'll never experience the double cure the gospel gives us. So perhaps you'll contain your anger more if you remember how the great physician operates. What does he do? He diagnoses your true condition. Then he medicates your condition with his grace, his word, his Holy Spirit. God opens the wounds in our souls. And into that open wound, God pours gospel medicine. Friends, don't let your anger become a hurricane force wind blowing out the candle of God's Word. Now, James was a preacher. Being a preacher, of course, he closes with a couple of principles of application. So let's look. First principle of application is this. Don't let sin plug up your ears. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, verse 21, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. The word filthiness, moral filth, that word is sometimes used to describe wax in an ear. In other words, we fail to receive the word because of the sins of not listening, talking too much, and getting angry. You know, when the preacher holds up the mirror of God's word and we see how we really look. You want to receive the word? Pray this. Lord, remove whatever wax is preventing me from actually hearing what's being said. And then second, right here from the verse, verse 21, receive the word with the open arms of humility. Notice that. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Think of humility in this way. Humility is a plow. It softens up the soil of our hearts so that we may receive the seed of God's Word. Or you may want to think of humility as herbicide we spray on the weeds of sin in our lives so the fruit of the Spirit may take root and sprout and grow. Or you may want to think of humility as the arms we open, the teachable attitude we need to receive the Word. Ultimately, we pray for God to humble our hearts. We pray for God to remove the wax from our ears, to open our hearts to receive the seed of the Word. But still, although God does it, you're responsible to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Oh, Eutychus, bless his heart. Poor fella fell asleep in church. He wasn't alive to the Word, and it cost him his life. What about you? Will you be alive to God's Word? Will you be receptive to God's Word? Just remember, it's this simple. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. Lord, we not only see its magnificence, but we know that it is responsible for us being Christians. Apart from hearing your Word, we wouldn't be believers. Lord, help us to receive your Word. Help us, Lord, to be attentive when your Word is taught and preached. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted, to be talking to others or inside ourselves, but to receive your Word. And Lord, we know that your Word tells us the truth, both the good news and the bad news of the gospel. So Lord, help us not to get angry when your Word steps on our toes. Lord, help us to receive your Word with a posture of humility. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.